So would all the young folks, Tristan, come on up. We need lots of young helpers here. Jaden, come on up. Here we go. This is good. We need lots of young helpers here. We're going to be reading about a really neat guy in Scripture today. His name is Zechariah. And Zechariah had an experience with an angel. Anybody know what the angel said to Zechariah when he was performing his priestly duty? Zechariah in Luke chapter 1 was in the temple of the Lord, and an angel showed up. What did the angel say to him? Yeah, that his wife was going to have a son. Yep. And they were really, really old. Like, they were old as Randy or so. And all of a sudden, they were going to have a new baby. And so Zechariah says, no way. I'm too old. And what did the angel say to Zechariah after that? How's that going to happen? The angel said, well, it's going to happen because I'm the messenger of God. And God said it's going to happen, so it's going to happen. And because you did not believe me, you're not going to be able to speak for 9 months. What do you think that'd be like, to not be able to speak for 9 months? Sign language for 9 months, like this. Can you do sign language? Well, we got to learn because I want you to be Zechariah for 9 months, okay? Or, yeah. Okay. Are you willing to be Zechariah for 9 months?
Yeah.
So you can't speak. Well, 9 months is a long time. How about 1 month?
Okay.
That can be okay, Mom and Dad? Where'd your parents go? Oh, there they are. Is that going to be okay if she doesn't speak for 9 months? Yeah. Well, how about just 1 day? Would you be willing to go 1 day? All right. I know there's a Christmas program in an hour, but I'm sure they can get by without you. So here you go. There you go. Okay, now don't speak the rest of the day. Okay. Oh, wait. That's not good enough. Here, we're going to have to get a longer piece. Okay, move your hair. All right. There we go. Okay. Now, what's interesting in the text, when the baby was born, the neighbors were going to come and name the baby. They kind of helped participate in that, and they said, we're going to name him after you. We're going to name him Zechariah, and Zechariah did not want them to do that, and so it says they made sign language to Zechariah. What do you want the baby to be born? Why would they need to make sign language to Zechariah? He must not have been able to do what else? Hear. He also must not have been able to hear. Is that okay if I put this on your ear? Okay, there we go. Okay. Now you can't hear out of that one. Is it okay if you can't hear out of this one too? Okay. Now anybody else want to be like Zechariah and not be able to speak in here? Oh, this is great. Okay, you help put tape on people. Oh, good. This is good. I'm going to get a nap today after all. Okay, how about you? Sorry, parents. He's going to talk all day. Okay, so how long do you think it could go? You think it could go not speaking, not hearing for a day, for an hour?
Mm-hmm.
How about hearing? Want your ears covered too? Oh. Think about what you might actually hear inside your heart. What do you think might go on inside of your heart if you couldn't hear or speak for 9 months? Your heart will still be pumping blood. Yeah, that's a good thing. But you couldn't hear it doing it. Or maybe that's all you could hear was the internal things going on inside your body. Maybe, just maybe, if you couldn't hear the world, maybe you could hear your God. Sometimes we think what happened to Zechariah was a punishment, but maybe it was a blessing. All right, let's pray together. All right, will you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, maybe it's fun to think about tape on ears and mouths, but we want you to be able to put something on our mouths to keep us quiet when we should be quiet, and put something on our ears when we should be just listening to you. May this Christmas season be a time, Lord, when your voice gets heard and we're receptive to your message. We pray this for every boy and every girl, for every man and every woman, that we might be able to respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. We're so glad you are here. It's fun to play and laugh and to think about different things about the message of Christ at this time of year. And I'm hoping that you will be receptive to what God has to say. Would you look with me in the text of Scripture? We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1. And As we're turning there, I'm just so thrilled to announce that as we were singing, I was looking up at the lyrics on the screen, and I read them with my right eye. I haven't read anything with my right eye in about a year. But I had cataract surgery. They took out that old lens that was really clouded over. I didn't realize how much, and put in a new one. And I haven't been able to read a clock across the room since probably second grade, but now with no lens on that eye, I can see. The left eye has a contact in it, and they're a little bit out of balance, but still, it's really thrilling. So I give praise to Jesus for his provision and his healing. Will you pray with me as we open the text? Lord, would you help us to hear you as we read your word? We invite you to speak to us through it. And Lord, we ask you to help us to open the doors of our heart to your silence and to your song. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Zechariah, he gets a bad rap. Let's read what it has to say about him in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and regulations blamelessly, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Oh, great message. A message of hope, a message of joy. A message that we would think would be received with great, great joy and pleasure. But Zechariah struggles. You can imagine that he's prayed for a child for 30 years or more. Since getting married, they've been hoping for children. And here he is at the end of his time as a priest in service, well beyond normal childbearing years for his wife. Pretty much lost hope. And if you stop and imagine what that'd be like, maybe you could relate a little bit to the situation. Maybe there's something that's happened in your life where you've hoped for it, you've prayed for it, you've dreamed about it, you expected it, and you asked over and over and over, "God, do this thing for me." But God didn't. God didn't come through. God didn't answer. And after a while, you start to wonder, does God care about me? Does he really care about my situation? Maybe you even question, is God good? Or maybe you go so far as to say, is God even there? Is there a God? Has all this been just a hoax? Am I just doing something and going through the motions and there's no substance? He's a priest, chosen by lot to be the one that year that got to burn incense at that time. A high calling, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He's in the midst of performing that ritual. That symbol of presenting incense, which would burn and rise up and be a symbol of our prayers. And people are gathered all around the rest of the temple as he's in this inner area doing this. And yet he's struggling with faith. He's struggling with, is God real? Does God care? Does God really love me? Does God answer prayers? Maybe you've been there. But the angel shows up. And the angel brings the message. And when he struggles with faith, the angel gives him a gift. Oh yeah, it might sound like punishment, but it's a gift. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Or in other words, saying, "No way, I am too old, God." And the angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me," she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Maybe the initial shock of being unable to speak, and I believe unable to hear, started a little kernel of faith, a little response saying, maybe God is answering, maybe God is going to do. And I wonder if that faith started out so small and grew. I wonder how that faith acted itself out as he got home and told Elizabeth the news through sign, through writing. And she says, "You want to do what? You believe what's going to happen?" Could it be? But maybe Zechariah's faith grew as Elizabeth's belly grew. Maybe it started out small just like that baby did. But as that baby grew in size and the womb expanded and the belly enlarged, maybe inside of Zechariah's heart there's a growing response of faith saying, "I do believe God. God has heard. God has done something miraculous." But still, even as faith started growing, Zechariah couldn't speak. 9 months of silence. 9 months of not communicating with his mouth. 9 months of not hearing the crowd and the noise of the world. 9 months of being in that inner solitude of hearing important voices. Now, our lives are so full of noise and clutter and distraction. I can't remember where I put my cell phone this morning. Hope it's in my briefcase or else it's in my coat pocket. I usually use it as my timer to know how long I'm preaching, so I don't have that. And that cell phone is such a nice thing, but what a distraction. I'm so silly, as there's times when I'm just completely bored and my mind is fried and I can't do a thing. I'll stare at it and I'll play cribbage on it. I wonder if some of our things we think are blessings really are curses. And the things we think are curses really are blessings. I wonder if we've got our values mixed up. And sometimes the things that we think we need the most, we really would benefit by getting rid of. In January, my wife and I, we try to have a season of fasting of one form or another. Sometimes it involves food. Sometimes it involves things. The thing I've been thinking about fasting from is my phone. Maybe not the calling part of it or the texting part of it, because I do want to stay in touch with you, but maybe the other things. Maybe I don't need to check the weather every morning. Maybe I don't need to read today's news. Maybe I don't need to play cribbage when I'm bored. And if I didn't, would I hear God more? Maybe there's a silence that God wants to bring to your life. Maybe this Advent season might be a time of silence. Maybe you could carve out solitude and silence to sit before God. A couple of nights ago, our heat got rippled off. Trying to conserve money, I volunteered to go on the 12-hour ripple plan. It was 4 hours last year, and we survived that. So I thought, well, I'll try 12 hours. It's still cheaper that way. So 12 hours of no electric heat. So we all were in the living room with the fireplace cranked up high. It's a propane backup system. So we were warm in there. But anywhere else we went, it was cold. So we're all in the living room together. Boy, it was nice. Just gather in the living room, read, talk. My daughter Nicole is home, and she brought her roommate Megan with her, who's never been this far north in the winter. But it's not cold up here, is it? No, it's so warm. So you come back next winter, I'm sure it'll be just like this. But I'm thinking, It's nice when the rest of the house is cold. We have to be huddled in the one room that's heated. There's a benefit to that. And I'm praying that this Advent season, you and I both will benefit from times of silence from God, where we're able to hear his voice, so that faith could grow. Maybe not like a womb, maybe not like a belly, maybe not like a baby, but faith might grow. I want you to see the eruption of faith that happened in Zechariah. Because after 9 months of silence, he erupts in song. After 9 months of not hearing the world and only hearing God, he's got lots to say to God when he's finally able to use his mouth again. Turn a little farther in Luke chapter 1. After the message to Mary and Mary's encounter with Elizabeth and then Mary's wonderful song, you turn to chapter 1, verse 57. When it says, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he's to be called John, which means the Lord is gracious. They said to her, there's no one among your relatives who has that name. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak, praising God. The first things that mouth said after 9 months of silence was praise to God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. The first word in Latin is benedictus, praise. Zacharias' benediction, praising the Lord God Almighty. Praising him for what? Praising him for salvation. Praising him for redemption. Praising him for rescue. He sees now that this child that's been growing inside of his wife and now is in his arms is part of God's plan. Part of God's sovereign plan of rescuing his people. He hadn't forgotten. Oh, it might have seemed like it was long and delayed, but God hadn't forgotten. God had heard every prayer. God had been at work. God had a plan. He announced it in the beginning of Genesis chapter 3, and now here it is unfolding, the next great step, and Zechariah has the thrill of being there to see it, to experience it. His first words after 9 months of silence are praising God for his plan of redemption, of rescuing his people. Verse 74, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. Sometimes as we read through the Old Testament, we see the people and we wonder what their attitude was towards God. There is, in a sense, a reverential fear of God, a deep, deep respect for God, an awe of God. And there were all these different things they did to act out their worship of God. And, of course, Zechariah had been given that high privilege of being the one to burn incense just 9 months before. And so maybe all that memory was flowing around inside of him. And he was seeing how that all fit with God's plan. And he comes to this important announcement that we can serve God without fear. Because God is gracious, because God is loving, because God has a plan that is unfolding and is becoming a reality. He's called us to be his people. He's rescued us from our enemies so that we can now serve him, be in a relationship with him in which we're respecting him and walking with him and hearing from him and responding in obedience, serving God without fear. Verse 75, serving him in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. See, the things we do affect our experiences, of course. There are some who are trying to do the right things so they can earn favor with God, but Zechariah in his 9 months of silence has been awakened to the reality that a relationship with God is based upon God's initiative and God's action, and we simply are the responders to him, and we receive this amazing privilege of being called into a relationship in which we now serve him without fear, but in holiness, in righteousness, in a lifestyle that reflects God's purity, in a lifestyle that's more and more like Jesus in its actions and its behaviors, and so that God's goodness is seen amongst us and amongst each other. It's not because we are perfect, but it's because a perfect God is at work inside of us. See, faith grew inside of Zechariah, just as a baby grew inside of his wife Elizabeth. Silence prompted it. Silence helped it grow. But it erupted in song, in praise, in declaration of God's glory. See, I believe that this Advent season, God wants to bless you with silence. But I think he wants to bless you with song as well. I believe he wants to cause faith to bubble out of you. Faith to come bubbling up from the depths of your soul so it comes bursting out of your mouth. Now, some of you are great, great singers. And some of you are not. But it doesn't really matter. What matters is the heart behind it all. And I encourage you to let song bubble up and flow out of you. In fact, I believe some of you are called to write new songs. Some of you are called to be a psalmist and let new songs of praise bubble up out of your heart and soul and come out on paper, be shared with others. I was visiting with Nancy Tolleson on Friday. Had the privilege of pushing her to the dining room. And I said, is it true? You're planning to be with us Christmas Eve and read a poem? And she said she's sure hoping to. And boy, I hope that comes about. God has given her a gift of being able to put words from him onto paper so the rest of us could be encouraged by him. Some of the rest of you have similar gifts, Sarah. Maybe some very different kinds of gifts, but ones that give glory to God and praise to God. I thought about my daughter Nicole as I was thinking about the call to write new songs of praise, because she has written some neat ones in the past. I think there's new ones bubbling around inside that'll come bursting forth sometime soon. And I'm really looking forward to hearing them. 3 weeks home, Christmas time, praising God together for his arrival of his son. I think a new song's going to come bubbling out. And inside of you, something's going to come bubbling out during this season. Silence leading to worship. Silence leading to song. Silence leading to psalm. One of the people in the Old Testament that's most elevated and highlighted is King David, who had that gift of song, who could speak forth words that came from the Holy Spirit that enabled us to be people who would worship God as well. Maybe the Psalms will be a source of worship for you during this period of time so that you will be able to worship God as you share or experience again the words of King David. Martin Luther said this about the Psalms. He said, we should adapt and adjust our minds so that we are in tune with the Psalms. We must sing the Psalms with the help of the Holy Spirit. They're like a school for the attitudes of the heart. They're like a school for the attitudes of the heart. The songs of David and the other psalms that are in there are schooling our heart, reminding us of God's truth and enabling us to respond with words of obedience so that by the reciting of them and the mulling them over, the meditating on them, our hearts are educated as to how they too should respond to God. I love Christmas carols. On the way over, Lisa said, I know what we can do. Let's see if you can guess which song, which Christmas carol this is, and recited a little bit of it. So many great songs lifting up God. Maybe they'll take a deeper meaning inside of you this Advent season, this Christmas season. Maybe there's a Christmas song you've sung over and over and over, but this year, the words will sink in a deeper and more profound way. So go ahead and turn them on the radio as you drive. Go ahead and sing along, as long as no one else is in the car for some of you. But go ahead and experience them again. Share them as a family. Pull out the hymnal or the book as a family. Sing them after supper. Some of those songs the kids haven't memorized yet. God might use them mightily as an encouragement to them. But I believe Zechariah was given a gift of silence that resulted in a gift of faith, that resulted in a gift of being able to praise God and declare the reality of God's plan of redemption. I think God wants to do something like that in your heart this Christmas season. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate that you chose to leave the throne of heaven to come and take on human flesh and live amongst us. We praise you that you chose to enable us to respond in faith to you, to enable us to serve you without fear, to enable us to be in a relationship with you of holiness and righteousness, one that lasts all the days of our lives. Lord, we thank you that you're the one who brings the knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of sins because of your tender mercies. Lord, we celebrate what you are doing. And we invite you to shine upon us and to lead us into the path of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, and do this amongst us this Christmas season, we pray. In Christ's name.